Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Northman, UKBN Nation at 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. Jason Wildy coming up at 3:15. What I want to know before Jason is inspired by the Bucks insider's hit at 12:35 on Wisconsin's Midday News talking about Giannis and
cool.
The numbers he's putting up right now are absolutely ridiculous. And honestly, just looking around at all of the NBA content that's put out there, and I get it. It's Wemby, it's Wemby, it's Wemby, it's Wemby, it's Wemby. But Giannis is, like, putting up ridiculous numbers, and he's doing it with a young cast of characters. 34, 17, and 7? At a 68-70% field goal percentage? It's just, it's almost taken for granted too much now to the point where, like, I need, you know, and I try not to do the, well, we're in the small market, they take it, you know, but they are, because we all know that if Giannis was somewhere else other than Milwaukee, he would be a bigger story, a bigger graphic, a bigger this, a bigger that, because of the name on the front of the jersey.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah. Putting up them numbers.
Kyle, you put up a stink to me a lot this week about the power rankings. ESPN power rankings continuously have the Packers, although number one in the NFC, number one in the NFC North, 5-1-1, not even in the top five of the overall power rankings. So I want to know. Who's not getting enough credit for what they're doing? Giannis as a Milwaukee Buck or the Green Bay Packers as a whole? 800-990-3776.
I mean, Giannis isn't getting enough credit because he's in a small market, but people still respect him and talking about how great he is. But when I look at my Green Bay Packers football team, I've never seen a team in the NFL who is 5-1-1 and has beaten the other teams that are great in the NFL when you're talking about elite. Well, the Lions.
Slow down.
And the Commanders were undefeated when we played them. Now they're a
that
shambles.
Was week.
It was week two.
Yeah.
They're injured.
Don't use
they're,
that one. Use the Lions skip that
Lions
one.
Lions is
you'll
the
lose
one
it.
Jaden Daniels got hurt in that game. So they're the way they are because
and
of
what
us.
What have they been since?
He's been hurt. He's been out. That's been on us, and he got hurt again. So again, all I'm saying is this is the Green Bay Packers are 5-1-1. And despite the fact the Green Bay Packers are 5-1-1, their team hasn't played that great throughout the whole season, right? When I think about the Packers, they have in 4 or 7 games this year, they've gone 3 and out 4 times this season. So this Green Bay Packer football team, 3 and out, they've gone 3 and out 3 times in 4 games. You looked up at me because you were confused.
Okay. Yeah, it was just worded a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know the best way to.
3 times 4 times this season.
Sure, whatever you want to say.
6-7.
6-7. Mm. But when I look at this Green Bay Packer football team, there's no way they shouldn't be ranked in the top 5. This football team should be the front runner in the NFC purely based off the fact that they beat the Detroit Lions and they only have 1 loss on the season. And that loss, though it was a loss to a bad Cleveland Browns team, they were still right there in the game with a position to win that football game late. So for me, when I look at the Green Bay Packers, they get completely disrespected. What they've been able to do in the fourth quarter and the way they've been able to finish games, the Green Bay Packers, in 6 of their 7 games, do you know they scored double digits in the fourth quarter to put games away? In 6 of the 7 games, this football team does not get the respect that they deserve. They're top 5 in points. They're top 10 in total yards as well. And you know how great that defense is. So I just think that it's messed up that the Green Bay Packers, well, week in and week out, especially after this last week.
But there's been conversation about the defense lacking at times.
There's areas of improvement, but when you're talking about the
you
pass
you came in and were like 80 points in the second half of games and only 20 in the first. That's Jeff Hafley.
That
what
was
are you
him.
Doing?
But also, when you look at this football team, you're talking about the dynamic duo that they have with Rashawn Gary. Yes, I said Rashawn Gary, dynamic duo because of Mr. Parsons himself. This Green Bay Packer football team, there's no excuse of them not being in the top 5. You cannot tell me there's 7 teams ahead of the Green Bay Packers. You can't even tell me that the Packers aren't the best team in the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers beat the team that other teams think that are better with the Lions. So I'm sick of this nonsense and all this hate. There's entirely too much ignoring of the Green Bay Packers and how great they are. Just wait. They're going to continue to show their greatness, especially when they get a chance at Philly at home on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, the Packers are experiencing a level of disrespect. They should be higher in the power rankings, but compared to the disrespect that Giannis is getting with the output that he's doing, it's not even close. I mean, everything Giannis has been doing since the moment the first tip-off occurred in their first game, it's been nothing short of greatness, of legendary greatness. He is a man on a mission, and his stats, his presence on the court, and this team, granted early in the season, but overproducing compared to what we thought this team was going to be, the disrespect for that is that should be a national storyline. That should be a national headline. Nobody expected this team. Ben listed off what the other Eastern Conference teams are as far as betting odds to win the NBA championship. And the Bucks are seventh. They're playing significantly higher than a seventh team in the East right now, all thanks to Giannis and only thanks to Giannis. And I look at that and think about him, and I think of the word greatness. I look at the Green Bay Packers, and I'm not sure I'd use the word greatness yet to define this team. They've been good to really good, but there's been moments where they do not look. They've been probably great for one game. That's the Detroit game. Outside, and maybe the second half of Pittsburgh, for sure. But outside of that, I don't look at it and say greatness from start to finish. That's what Giannis is giving us. The Packers are underrated, for sure, but Giannis and this Bucks team, whoo, boy, that is criminal.
People still look at Giannis as being one of the greatest players in the NBA, most dominant players in the NBA. People are still sleeping on my Green Bay Packers and second-guessing, well, as you just did, whether or not they're a real contender. Well, maybe this. No, the Green Bay Packers are for real.
So, I'm just going to read some stuff off here that I look, because I can't make an argument for a couple of teams. The only two teams I can make an argument for ahead of the Packers are the Eagles and the Rams. The Lions have beat the Bears, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Buccaneers. Now, the Buccaneers were high on that list, but I think, again, they're one of the teams that I'm actually not going to make
an
argument.
They're not winning a Super Bowl.
I'm not going to make an argument. It's not. This is about power rankings for where they're at right now. Whether or not they win a Super Bowl is relevant to this conversation. They've beaten the Falcons, the Texans, the Jets. Seahawks is a good win. The Niners haven't had a quarterback. They lost to the Lions and beat the Saints. Now, the Rams and the Eagles, have wins against the Chiefs, the Rams, the Buccaneers, who are still at the top of that. They have three quality wins. Their loss to the Broncos, they're a good team. They did lose to the Giants, but then just smacked the Giants this past week. But they have those quality wins that I think are probably putting them ahead from a how people are voting standpoint. And then the Rams have wins
against the Colts.
Actually, it wasn't the Rams. It was the Lions wins and the Eagles wins that I could put more weight to. Because when you look at the Packers, they just have the Lions. Beating Washington, Cincy, AZ, and Pittsburgh and tying the Cowboys, I'm just saying, in comparison, when you only have that one win where other teams, and it's just based off how the schedule is falling.
Well, right, so
as soon as the
Washington
Packers
game, going into that Washington
dude,
game,
the Washington
game but
now
we
doesn't
know more.
Matter.
We, no, we know more.
They're
now.
Hurt. They're old and injured. Their quarterback was hurt.
You're making the argument. If outside of Daniels, they're old and injured. They're not any good.
Okay, but I'm saying
outside of Daniels.
Okay.
So they've beaten the Lions. That is what they've done from a pure looking at
and
where
the,
it's
and
at
the Lions
the rankings.
Look significantly better than week one.
Oh, I wonder why.
I'm just saying. It's just
I knew it.
The only thing I'll say about the Lions is the only thing that I think is fraudulent is they have only beaten teams that are really bad, but they beat them in style points.
Yeah.
So that is what is helping.
It's like college
their ranking.
Football type.
I would put the Packers and Lions next to each other. Them being as high as they are is fraudulent in my opinion.
I said after that game, when the Lions get good, everybody gonna be talking about
that's
oh,
Brad.
It was the first game with the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. They weren't
talking like that.
That's what people were in leading after
but
that
no,
game.
No, who sounded like?
Oh, I don't know. That's not my impression of Brad. But I just knew it. The Lions got hot. They're gonna try to discredit the Green Bay Packers for the dismantling of the Detroit Lions and try to make excuses of why the Packers did what they did to them. I just knew it was gonna come.
You could
y'all not believe
you could spin it either way. You could say that it's more impressive that the Packers beat them because look how better they've gotten, or that they've hit more of their stride and that maybe the game would look differently.
But I am
right
with
now.
Kyle. The fact that the Lions are at the top of these power rankings is an absolute joke.
Thank you.
That is a joke because they've only beaten.
What number are they?
They're number one.
Oh, that's way
through week
high.
Eight. They
that
are number
high.
One, and they do not have a impressive. They've lost to the two teams other than the Buccaneers this past week that they have had quality games against: the Bears, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals. Slaughtered. But guess what? That's what they do when Dan Campbell's team is in rhythm against bad teams, they run up the score. The Eagles have the quality wins, and the Rams have the quality wins. Excuse me, not the Rams. The Buccaneers, again, actually, it's really just it's just the Eagles I can make an argument for. The Packers are way undervalued in the NFC based off what people are saying, but they need more quality wins probably for voters, and they won't have that chance, and it's not their fault. It's just how the schedule has fallen.
So because the Packers aren't undefeated this year, we're punishing them. We're punishing them for not being perfect.
No.
What do you mean no? They are.
But they're not undefeated.
Them for,
but they lost to the Browns and they tied the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Browns is a big bad blemish when you're up 10-0 in the fourth quarter and lose that game.
No, it is. It's a big bad blemish, but at the end of the day, you have bad games, right? That's what happens.
You have bad games, but it also is in the way in which they lost
Eagles
the game.
The Eagles lost to the New York Giants by double digits.
They smack them. The difference is the Packers were up 10-0 against the Browns, and they didn't put them away like a lot of teams want to see good teams do, and also in the way in which they lost, okay. It was a bad loss to a team they should have beat.
And they don't hammer teams like the Lions do to inferior opponents.
Now that is true. The Packers do not hammer teams, and I think that has a lot to do with coaching and immaturity. They need to start dismantling and hammering teams. That is the one missing piece. But overall, I do think the Cleveland Browns game is what it is. I feel like the Cowboys game came down to coaching and the defense and Halfley.
That's part of it.
It is, but they've taken care of business. But they're 5-1-1.
Jerry's with you. He's a Lions fan chiming in on YouTube. Lions are 2-2 against teams with a winning record. Lions, and I'm a Lions fan, should be around 5. They shouldn't be number 1.
Yeah, 1 is
way
too high.
I'm calling it out. That is ridiculous that they are number 1. The Colts should be number 1. In the power rankings, but again, the power rankings are getting you up into your panties in a bunch. But when the Packers
have boxers on, boxers
tight, or your sphincter tight, as I like to use. But when they play the Eagles and the Lions the next 4 weeks, they'll prove to everyone whether they should be in the top 3 or if they do not, based off their results. Let's go to Josh and Kenosha on the Carbless Talking Text Line.
Hey, Ben. Yeah, I definitely wanted to agree with you about how it almost feels like the college rankings with the style points and everything, and how I think the Packers lost to the Browns is one of those bad losses they talk about. And then you flip it to they beat the Lions as a quality win. I think that's messing with people's heads a little bit. But in reality, the Packers are a top 3 NFC team. You could make the case they're 1, 2, or 3 with, I would put in the Rams and the Eagles. The Lions, I guess if you want to throw them in there, make it top 4, sure. Tampa's got too many injuries to be above Green Bay right now. And especially with what Detroit did to them last week. So I think we're kind of conflating how the college rankings go with NFL teams.
Well, Josh, it also, and thank you for the call, it's just a bunch of writers that are going week to week, and guess what the Lions did against the Buccaneers, who were a hot team before all these injuries. They took care of them 24-9, so it looks good, but I still think them being number one is absolutely fraudulent, and the Packers do have that win against the Lions. You can only play who's in front of them, but when they have a chance to play these other teams that we know are quality opponents, they will be right there in the conversation or not, based off what they do.
I can't wait. Because listen, Jordan Love going to be ready. I can't wait. I can't wait for prime time for Jordan Love to go against Jalen Hurts and get his revenge on what happened when he was injured. Because remember, going into that game, he might have, his lower half of his body might have been better, but his arm was still messed up. I can't wait.
I hate unathletic people that talk about sports. Jimmy on the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube.
Oh, wow.
I simply said, who's unathletic? Because I want to see what his answer is. Because I feel like Strofe hasn't said much, so I'm confused right now.
Jimmy on the ESPN Madison one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see if he replies. I'd love to get some insight. Maybe it's because I got the glasses. Look like a nerdy guy.
It's like Superman, right? Where you put on like the glasses and then you take them off and whoa, it's Superman.
Chest out, looking athletic now.
Yeah.
Huh? Jason Mulde. I don't think he's athletic, but he knows the Packers next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
Transformers Megan Fox.
No, I would say Megan Fox, you all good, but 7:45 is time to go. You had to transform your ass up out of here.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm going to enunciate the way I normally would as a nerdy fellow that I am.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
You know, you should be confident. You should be feeling yourself.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not saying you should be necessarily mad at him, but he bears some responsibility.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Yeah, I don't want to do this for three more hours either, so we're good then.
Join Jason Wilde next summer and explore the British landscapes in England, Scotland, and Wales. Text travel to 800-990-3776 or visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details. Tell me now, do you want
it? Because he's dancing feet. Joining us is Jason Wilde on Kyle Brustin Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Listen to Jason 9 to noon across these various stations on Wilde and Tausch. Jason, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Wanted to get it right this time. Jason, the Packers wide receiver room, you know, assuming they get Jaden Reed back this year, would be pretty deep, and there's some contract situations that you'd have to figure out. Is there a potential that one of them could be moved at the trade deadline? And if you were to choose one that would make sense to move, who would it be?
Yeah, I don't think, like, first of all, I wouldn't rule anything out, right? Like, my God, they traded for Micah Parsons. So really, nothing is off the table. That said, I mean, look, my reservation, and I don't know how Goody feels, but like Ted used to always say, you're a couple sprained ankles away. You may think you're deep at a position, but you're a couple of sprained ankles away from suddenly being thin. And while you could argue certainly that they have plenty of wide receivers, I mean, right now, Wicks is not on injured reserve, but he did not play last week. He's not playing this week. He didn't practice again today. So you don't have to worry about him when you're dishing out snaps and targets. Reed is still on IR, but he will be back. I mean, he's catching balls again. I'm not allowed to interview him, but I did talk to him yesterday, and he feels pretty good about where he's at. So those guys are going to be back in the mix, and then you feel really good about Watson and what you saw in his first game back. Dobbs is Dobbs, and you're certainly not trading away your first-round pick or Savion Williams. I just think that that's a position where, you know, you just don't want to take the risk when you have a Super Bowl caliber team of making a trade and then you get a rash of injuries and you're regretting it. I would say the same thing about Kingsley and Igbaré. Like, he's going to be a free agent after the season. That guy deserves more playing time. But he lost it to Micah Parsons. Like, he didn't lose it to some stiff. So
real quick, I'd rather just have with the logic that you're providing with the sprained ankle away, they're not particularly deep at cornerback.
Well, they need. There's no doubt they need help there, but my problem with that is, who the heck is trading a good corner at the trade deadline? And what is the price tag? Like, Michael Carter the second went from the Jets to the Eagles. Really? The Eagles, man, they don't mess around.
They do like, not. Nope. Them and the Rams.
The Rams did the same thing as well.
I can feel Kyle frustrated that Goody doesn't take as aggressive of attack, even though he traded for Micah Parsons this year.
Jason, you misread me with this one. I'm not as mad at this point because I'm Parsons.
Okay, not yet.
We don't have the draft capital to give up after we gave up two. I mean, we do, but I don't know how I feel about giving up more picks.
I mean, what did they give up for Michael Carter the second, though? A seventh?
I think maybe a sixth or a swap. It wasn't much.
Is he good? I mean, I'm gonna sit here and act like I know Michael Carter the second in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna defer to the people that watch the Jets regularly. Those poor people. I don't know. But again, that's the other problem with trading, right? You obviously think, oh well, this guy must be better than what we have because Goody made a trade for it or whatever else. Like, I always think back to who was that wide receiver out of Notre Dame that was with the Steelers and the Bears traded for him?
Oh,
Claypool.
At the trade deadline a couple of...
Yeah, Chase Claypool. Chase
Claypool, yep. And he was terrible.
Second round pick, right? Second round?
Yes. And,
that was crazy.
And the Steelers were thrilled to get rid of him for I think, what did the Bears gave up a second, the Packers like offered a third or something like that, if I remember right. But it was a terrible trade. It was a wasted pick. He was horrible in Chicago. He's bounced around since. But, you know, I remember, and I'm sure I said it on our show, hey, that was at a time when they had Alan Lazard, I believe, as their number two wide receiver. Or maybe it was 2022 and he was their one receiver, and then they had the two rookies, Watson and Dobbs. But they would have regretted that in a huge way. So maybe standing pat is the best thing to do, especially when you have a bunch of good players. And I would also add this, and I know this isn't apples to apples, but if you trade a guy that is really a well-liked guy in the locker room, there's a chill effect, right? I mean, we saw
Josh Hader with the Brewers.
With Josh Hader. It's exactly where I was going. Now, he obviously had a much more prominent role.
Correct.
Than somebody that they might give up here. But I don't want to mess with my depth, and I don't want to mess with my locker room chemistry. If there's a corner that's available for a bargain price, though, like that guy that went from a Tennessee traded, was it to the Rams?
Yes.
That was like a pick swap. That was it. It was a 6'7".
Or 6'7", 6'7".
Sydney's already getting, Sydney's in the back seat. She already gave me a
6'7", Sydney.
Yeah. I'm on my headphones.
I was going to say, I don't think she can hear you.
I appreciate the effort, though.
Jason, last year, Kyle brought this up. I got to give him credit. Packers are 30th in the NFL right now in their defensive turnovers with 4. Last year, they were 4th with 31. Has any coach or player given you an explanation as to why they're so low this year when they were so high last year?
And no. With that point of emphasis they made in the offseason.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, because I wrote this story a month ago, right? And it hasn't gotten any better. That's what's crazy, right? I mean, I guess they've doubled it from 2 to 4. At the time that I wrote it, they had the interception by Evan Williams in the opener off of the Micah Parsons pressure on Jared Goff. And they had the punt interception at the end of the first half in Cleveland when Joe Flacco took a shot and Xavier McKinney picked it off. And now they've added 2 more takeaways, right? A strip sack by Rashawn Gary. And then what's the – I can't even think of the other one. Another fumble of some sort?
The Rashawn one's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
Did you say the Bullard one where he punched it out last week?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, my point is that it has, like...
Very memorable.
What's crazy, you know, you'd like it to be not memorable because that means you're getting so many of them that you're losing track. Mm. But to your point, whoever, I can't remember who chimed in now, about the emphasis, I think it was you, Ben, like, that was the whole premise of my story. Like the NFL, there's a reason why the cliche "you get what you emphasize" is so overused, because it's true. And the coaches will tell you, and Brad, you can back me up on this, like, you only have so much practice time, so you have to make choices on what you're going to emphasize more so than other parts. You cover all aspects, but some get short shrifted and others you really emphasize. And in the case of turnovers, like, again, I'm sure that everybody emphasizes turnovers. It's all about the ball. I get it. But I don't think there's many teams that have installed lights and sirens into their defensive meeting room and have, like, mini celebrations for every time you force a turnover.
They haven't had them during the season.
They haven't had to do that very often. And then, you know, basically mock trials for guys that have an opportunity to punch the ball out and don't take a swing. Like, they get after guys for doing that. So it is mystifying. Like, have they just played a bunch of teams that are really good about their ball security? I guess I'd have to go through where the teams that they have played rank in giveaways to figure out if they've run into some teams that have just been really vigilant about it. But the bottom line is, you know, all this stuff about the defense and they haven't been as dominant as we thought they were going to be. As you well know, as much as they wanted to see you come out onto the field as opposed to giving up the ball, you as a defense, I don't want to see you. I want to take the ball away so the punter doesn't have to come out. I want a better field position than what Brad Norman's going to leave me with.
So true.
Jason, I'm big on this Jordan Love train right now, and I'm just trying to figure out what type of performance will it take for people to finally believe that Jordan Love is that guy? Because I feel like right now when you look at the power rankings and people having a conversation about the Packers aren't in that top tier of teams that they think could be, you know, true Super Bowl contenders. I think it comes down to Jordan Love. What more do people need to see from Jordan Love to start believing that he is that dude?
They got to do it in the playoffs, right? And he did it against Dallas. And he was in the process of doing it against the 49ers. And then his last pass of the third quarter and then his last pass of the game were both picks and bad picks, right? And, you know, I was actually talking to him yesterday about this because my point, because I have these folks that get after me for pointing out the interception in Cleveland and for the check down to Emmanuel Wilson when you don't have any timeouts at the end of overtime in Dallas. And I bring those up because they're illustrative of the fact that he took those screw-ups, which he owns. Again, doesn't need you to make excuses for him, fans. He takes ownership, which is something I didn't usually say about his predecessor. And he took those, and how has he responded? Look at the last three games, right? Mm-hmm. He makes the big-time throw to Golden against the Bengals, right, where he's, like, moving to his left, kind of crosses his body still. Unbelievable throw, right? Then in the Arizona game, fourth down, you know, they're going to kick a field goal. They call timeout. He has that look of disdain. You know, if you're going to give the coach a dirty look, and, again, LaFleur really wanted to go for it anyway, and that was kind of the tiebreaker for him because he wanted to be conservative, but he wanted to go for it. And the face that he saw from Love was like, okay, we're definitely going. You know, if you're going to do that, you better deliver on the throw then. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did with the throw to Kraft. And then obviously you saw his performance yesterday or Sunday. I mean, dude completed 20 passes in a row. And I know there's also folks that like to ding him for, he's throwing checkdowns and guys are running with the ball after the catch and, you know, Tucker Kraft at 143 yards and 131 were after the catch. Yeah, that's how this offense works. That's why he's throwing for 70% completion rate. That's why his air yards maybe aren't, Aaron Rodgers-esque from 2011. But that's not the offense he's in. This is designed for you to get the ball out, let guys make a guy miss, and gain a bunch of yardage. And they have done a great job of that, and he has reaped the statistical benefits. But he's doing what he's asked to do, and then on occasion, he's making big league throws when they need to be made. Now, I also enjoyed the fact that he basically admitted that the two biggest plays he had were not positively graded. You know, he admitted after the game when he made the throw to Kraft, I was just hoping nothing bad would happen. You don't want to hear your quarterback say that. And then, you know, he said he committed a mortal sin on the throw to Watson, laid over the middle, and both of them worked out. So sometimes, and this is what I was telling Strofe this morning on Weekly Wildy, you know, one of the things that come with being that guy and getting closer and closer to being that guy is you get a little more leeway, take those chances. And when they pay off, as long as you don't morph into Brett Favre in St. Louis throwing six picks and three of them return for touchdowns, I think they're going to be willing to let him take a chance or two once in a while.
Well, Jason, it's a lot of great stuff. We appreciate you taking the time, and we listened to Weekly Wildy. I saw you and Strofe promoting that, as well as hearing you on Wildy and Tausch and Green Bay Game Day and Night. And Sunday Karma. Well, there will be no Sunday. Will there be no Sunday Karma?
Noon game. All right. Off on Sunday.
Talk to you soon, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wildy. Listen to him on Wildy and Tausch across ESPN Wisconsin.
Jason was good today.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Are you going to rate Jason every time he comes on now?
Does that mean
rate?
He's not good every day?
No, just when he agrees with me.
Yeah, there it is. If you agree with me, you're right.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're wrong. I'm surprised he didn't jump on him for, the whole throw to Kraft isn't as much credit to Love, but
well,
that's for another time.
The Watson pass was good.
Frozen Pizza like Friday is tomorrow, which means stay in the loop because at any time from 2 to 5 tomorrow, we'll give away a Screaming Sicilian Pizza Prize Pack. Cheez-It is a legendary snack cracker available with frozen pizza, courtesy of Palermo's and their collaboration there. Each crust is a giant original Cheez-It flavored cracker crust that's square-shaped, ultra-thin, super crispy, and has the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. On top of each crust are flavors that are phenomenally paired with the Cheez-It flavored crust. Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni. With one of the shortest bake times, you go from freezing to cheesing. And as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza at your favorite local grocer's freezer aisle. I've now got into an athleticism off on the YouTube at ESPN Madison.
Wait,
with
somebody
Jimmy.
Was challenging your athletic ability, a former Division I basketball player?
It shows up on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee as Ben Brust, and it just shows up BBrust29, which is interesting. Maybe I'm just another email on the Madison one.
You're really going back and forth?
Yeah, no, I was just like, because he I'll recap this. This is fun. This is fun. We'll do it on the other side.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
You said they are a reflection of their head coach.
Yes, yep. He's soft, as he proved with you by signing that damn jersey you had on. You
preach
think
it.
You think Campbell would have signed that jersey?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
On YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison, we're always ready to interact with you. You can always get us on the Carbliss Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Ben Brust set the all-time three-point record in 2014 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, wow.
That's me. Brad Nortman, all-state tight end and linebacker.
Should have stopped there.
Six-year NFL punter. Been around the ball.
Yeah, I've seen a football.
Watched the Super Bowl and kicked in a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Been in team meetings.
Seven times in the Super Bowl,
seven,
right?
Seven, maybe
Kyle,
even eight times.
He was recruited to play Division II, Division III football.
You were on a national championship contending team.
Runner up. Got a runner up ring.
And Stroh.
A half court shot in the JV basketball.
Three
game.
Fourths.
Three quarter court. That's our resume. Still waiting on his. He wants to link up in the East Coast and play ball, though. I don't know if that's going to happen.
He lives on the East Coast?
Yeah, he wants to play ball.
He was out for it, man. He was just hammered.
It's fine.
Wait, Jimmy's black? Jimmy done put the black hand up? White picture? I'm confused now. Wait a minute.
I was confused, too.
Jimmy, you got an identity crisis, I see. Jeez Louise. Well, just as long as ain't the real Jimmy Hoffa, I'm okay.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know anything about him other than what you taught me in the break.
Hey, Brad taught me a lot, boy.
Craziness.
One thing I do want to know is because right now not a lot of work's being done in our office.
Don't get me.
No, you have to get started on it. But right now everyone's decorating the rooms.
Boy, I would have just
we're having the Halloween party at the office.
Hey, if they're gonna pay people not to do anything, you might as well give me a free vacation day too. This is unfair.
Would you stop?
This is unfair to content teammates who have to be on air. Okay, everybody else gets to do nothing.
Oh, wow,
but we gotta
wow,
work.
Wow, wow.
We get
you
to
love
work.
What you do, and you should stop complaining.
I know, but I like sitting on my ass too. Or I'm sorry, stand up and hang stuff. Decorate.
All I was gonna say is I am the Halloween Grinch. I hate it, and I have made a vow that my daughter, who I love, is going to be here. She's gonna be dressed up, but I am never going to be the parent that dresses up.
Oh, what? Never?
Never. What? I will never be the parent that dresses up.
I've never met
Are
someone.
Are you pro being what do you mean you never met
so,
someone?
So against dressing up.
So one of our teammates came up to me and my wife as we ran into them in the neighborhood and asked about this party. And I was so mad at my wife because he's kind of like a funnier guy around the office, or tries to be at least. And I said, why did you tell him that we weren't dressing up?
Your wife isn't dressing up either?
No, she's not. And I was like, you should have told him that we were dressing up and then not dressed up. So he came dressed up. I'm anti parents dressing up. It's too much.
You're telling me your beautiful daughter, she could look at you and say, let's say you watch a classic family thing is like The Incredibles, right? She asks you, I want to be little Jack-Jack, or I want to be the teenage girl or whatever. Dad, I want you to be Mr. Incredible. Can we please go through the neighborhood and you dress up as Mr. Incredible? You're going to say no?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I've hated Halloween forever. It's
okay.
The worst.
Just because you want to be the Grinch of Halloween doesn't mean your daughter has to suffer through that.
So your little future little ones are going to tell you what to do?
I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? If I had a daughter, she can tell me whatever. Because my little angel, I'm going to just say yes all the time. Oh, the boys, I'll be like, y'all be all right. But if baby girl, if
sex is much.
That's the way of the world, baby. But if my future wife tells me I got to dress up for Halloween. Matter of fact, I got a Halloween party that I'm supposed to go to tomorrow. You think I have a costume ready?
Is a costume required?
Costume is required. I haven't thought about it, but you know what? I know I ain't getting inside that car with her without having some costume on. So, yes, I think it's wrong for you to sit here and have your adorable daughter walking around in her costume today and dad isn't participating.
Ain't going to remember
It could be a core memory for her.
She may not remember it now, but she's going to be 4, 5, 6, 7. She's going to remember that, Ben. And at a certain point, she's going to get 13, 14, 15. She's going to get all that attitude, and you're going to wish you dressed up for Halloween with
her. I'm the Carbless Talk. Wow. I'm the Carbless Talk, and text line Colin chimes in. I'm with you. Halloween sucks. Worst holiday of the year.
Wow.
Stevie says, Ben, I hate Halloween, but I will dress up for my kids, and trust me, you will too. Well, it looks like y'all don't have a backbone, and I have a backbone.
That's awful.
What a stance. What a stance to never dress up. It's truly...
terrible stance.
I think it's going to change. I do. I've seen... How many times has Ben showed us on his phone, rightfully so, look at how beautiful my girl is, and she is beautiful. How are you going to say no to that?
That's
you're talking a big game in front of KBN Nation, which I get.
A five-year-old
little brust, and she's going to be cute as can be and say, Daddy, can you please? Then tears come. You're going to be saying
yes.
If
she's crying about me not dressing up for Halloween, I failed as a parent.
Ian
and East Troy, I was there, Ben. Things change. Mama was a cheerleader. I wore a Tucker Craft jersey. Boy one was a Mack truck. Boy two was a block of cheese. Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, that's creative. You don't want to be part of that?
Nope.
That's so cute.
Nope.
What if she's a little Badger cheerleader and she says, I want you to be the great Ben Brust, the 3-point record holder in Wisconsin.
That's been broken 4 times since.
Well,
that's kind of
at least you had that.
Dress up as
I'd say.
You're still going to say no to dressing up as yourself?
Ooh, Ben chimes in the 262. Bring your wife on the show. I know
she ain't doing nothing upstairs but setting up a room, so, I mean, she's available. Ain't nobody working up there. I went upstairs to go grab a charger.
Wow, yes. She's listening.
Yeah.
You should say we are both anti-adults dressing up.
Both are.
Why doesn't she say it for herself? Coming up next.
Listen.
Because she's driving to go get our daughter.
I'll come
to bring
save
back
you,
here.
Baby Bruss. I ain't gonna let your parents ruin your childhood by not dressing up and participating.
Halloween's
in Halloween
is the best. We just don't need to dress up. It's for children to dress up. That's my wife.
Wow.
My wife.
This is my wife. We get along. This is great.
So if she told you to dress up, you'd be dressing up though.
No, because I'm the man of the house, unlike you.
Okay, we'll ask her that. Let's have her come down. I want to ask her that, who the man of the house is.
She's listening. I'll get a text. Ask her your question now, Claire.
Mrs. Bruss, is Ben Bruss the man of the house? If you told him to dress up for Halloween and he said no, would he be sleeping on the couch?
So you're telling, and Mrs. Bruss.
That was very pointed.
You're telling me that you guys have never went to a costume party and you haven't coordinated costumes together and you're avowing to never coordinate again in the future?
Unless it means something to somebody that's hosting the party, then we would do it out of default. But if it's our choice, like this party, we ain't doing it.
Brett, you didn't dress up for the Halloween party today.
Yeah.
He's also not going to stay for the Halloween party today.
That's also true. I can't stay.
Are you anti-parents dressing up for Halloween
hold on. Me? Quick time out. You can't stay or you're just choosing not to?
Can't stay. We got some family in town.
Oh, very good.
Damn, all of the husbands are saying, Ben, this is the funniest thing you've ever said because we are all laughing at your opinion. But I have my wife behind me, and I just got a text. Uh-oh. I don't know what it says.
Oh!
She did not address Kyle's question.
Oh, she has something else to ask.
Correct.
You in trouble?
Please address, no. I just was hoping it was going to tie the bow on the Kyle question.
The man in the house can't even get a response. Man in the house can't get a response. So much for that.
Or she don't care about you.
No, you told her to respond and she didn't.
Baby, respond now. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Love you.
What?
Love you.
Love you too.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Oh, this is is the time of year where it's feeling a little crisp, a little cold outside, so you gotta change out those windows and doors. Stop putting that project off, because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is here to make sure that your home is gaining an increase in home value, energy costs going down, and you can trust everything that Pella Windows and Doors has for you, because they've been around for over 100 years. That's through every single different kind of economic cycle. They make their own products in-house, so everything is customizable. And not only that, but you can get this offer of 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's 5 years of 0% interest, and you enjoying those personalized, those durable, those beautiful Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, all with no interest for 60 months. Get your absolutely free consultation today by giving them a call, stopping in the Experience Center in Brookfield, or going to PellaWI.com.
Kyle Wall still has to run 3.5 miles, continues to put it off.
I mean, I have time. I got to the next week.
Ben Bruss, Brad Nortman, still running the show.
What's the...
Let's take this call. I'm just fascinated at this point from Jim in the Village of Raymond. Love for you guys to chime
Village
in.
Village of Raymond, huh?
Let's
Village
go to the Carbless Talking text line. Jim, you're on with KBN.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
You?
I'm doing good, Jim.
I actually wanted to ask Mark Tauscher this morning, but I couldn't get on the phone.
Yeah, well, we're guys. Better than him.
I have. Yeah, I know. That's why, you know, that's why I'm here. So I tried to get this question answered on the Chicago 670 The Score radio station, and I don't think those guys appreciated anything that.
Well, let's get to it. What's your question?
Well, my question is, okay. Jeez, he sounds like he's from Chicago. everyone knows that Chicago has been drafting a first-round quarterback. It seems like every 3 years, because they give up on their quarterbacks because they're not fitting the system. And my question is, why do they continue to do that?
Are you a Bears fan? Of...
No. Fuck no.
Dump Madison.
I knew.
Dumped.
Listen, I knew something was up with him. I knew it.
Yeah, it's a little slow.
Yeah.
A little slow.
Hey, but you know what? You asked him that question. That's how a Packers fan should respond.
Well, he never finished the question.
No.
Then he dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah. I mean,
it's on
you
me.
You gotta love live radio.
I mean, like, Kyle did it. I was about to do it. What's the question?
Yeah.
Hey, listen. He was taking entirely too long.
And I shouldn't have done it because Strofro Bears QB questions. I don't know what's happening here. But when I see I don't know what's happening here, and Strofe says that, curiosity strikes within me.
I mean, of course. Defense.
You could have said
I meant that in a good way.
You could have said might take 5 minutes to get to the point,
bro,
and then we would have known what to do.
It was a lead up, boy.
Lead up. Oh my gosh,
Kyle. He basically called you a Chicagoan. He said, because when you said, "Hey, what's the question?" He goes, "Whoa!" Like the people from Chicago.
And usually, when you say, "Can you get to the question?" They get to the question. He goes, "Wait a second. You sound like one of them from Chicago."
I mean, you must be insulted. You hate Chicago.
Well, I mean,
literally, you
source,
you hate Chicago.
I do. It's more than the Bears. I just don't like anything about Chicago. It's just the guy took forever. And then after I said that, he finished up, you know, their quarterback. They just can't. What does he want? They're bad. It's a bad organization.
They can't develop. They can't evaluate.
Even you, Jim, who are still listening, can figure out the answer to your own question. Yeah. You sound like you got some history in you, Jim. You sound like you've been through it a while, like, you know, you've lived some life.
I thought Jim was using the oxygen machine the way he was taking deep breaths in between it. And
you had to have seen the list of quarterbacks that have been there since they claim 1985.
It's been a lot. And even the 1985 quarterback was meh.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Wow.
That's what Strofe wrote on the call screen.
Well, the best thing was when he answered that question.
No.
Oh, for YouTube it was.
Tim, Matt, and Molly on next in Madison, the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. We have a former NFL punter with us that has an opinion on trap games, because that's the buzzword of the week. You look ahead to the Eagles
but you got the 4-4 Panthers right in front of you. Is this a trap game? Do they even exist? Do you believe they're a real thing? We give you the answer right here on Kyle Brustenhartman next in 2 minutes. The show that never ends.